working together needs understanding the value of each other. When I understand that I cannot exist without we, then I appreciate we. Nowadays we are thinking about us. This is the reminiscence of what? Animal form. Blood relation. Now we understand it's cultural relation. It has nothing to do with the blood. Blood is the animal part and it's going to be changed. Anyhow, now let's go back to what you're talking here, which is not that different. One of the stuff that I love about this stuff is that it doesn't interfere. It will become more clear. I mean, with this advance of the science, it's not that it makes some questions that, oh, now what then? Because here we find what? We're talking about one subject only. But one thing about this subject only. What is the subject that we're talking about?
Love and wisdom.
Who this?
You.
Let go of that word human that some people are not, blah, 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 blah. You. You're here to hear about you. And we are talking about one problem with you. Because you are a small universe. And Rumi said it. And here he will repeat it. That listen. In physical form, you are a small universe. In the meaning, you are the big one. Why? Because of knowledge, wisdom. Because me, there's nothing here. I understand this. And when I do this, I understand how much further you could go in and find a lot of stuff. We're talking about one part of my problem. What is it? My relationship with the others. That's all. Why? Because this is the subject that you could understand. And it's your duty to understand, to know what to do. Why are you here? The only reason I could understand is you are here to be a part of us. All of us. That's why you are here. That's the understandable one that I understand with my common sense. The only problem with me is the ego, is the brain and logic. This is what we are talking about. Right from the beginning we started with you falling in love with this lady. This lady loves the goldsmith and up to here. Now we are talking about the best one. Why the best one? Because she's chosen and she's made up. And this is story. And Rumi will remind you, I'm telling you this story. In our story, the best woman is Belarus. Why? Because she belongs to Solomon. You remember Solomon? Means healthy, means surrender, means... all that stuff. Here we are talking about the movement of this lady. Right at the beginning we talked about the problem of this lady. Middle of the book one we arrive at the fighting of this lady with the man in here. Do you remember that? In book two we talked about the reflection of this brain outside. And that was what this wisdom was about, that you should understand that this one will go up and will search something but should come back and bring it to we, then the flowers come out and so on and so forth. Remember all that. And we said, don't let your brain to be in control. Here we're talking about the brain that is moving. Look at this moving brain, how this brain will act. The first action of this brain was the best, because she didn't pay attention to the size of the bird. We'll talk about it later. The second act after surrendering is a very silly act. Today we'll hear that. Who is the guilty party today? Volunteer? No one? Peter?
This is line 563.
Yep.
Story of Doges sending a gift from the city of Saba to Solomon, on whom be peace.
Pay attention that here you name the name of the city. Do you remember the name of the city? You are the people living in Saba, because you are the people living in a field controlled by the brain, actually. Here she wants to send something good to Solomon. Yes.
The gift of Doges was 40 mules. Their whole load consisted of bricks of gold. When he reached the open plain belonging to Solomon, he saw that its carpet was entirely of solid gold. He rode on gold for the distance of 40 stages, till gold had no more esteem in his sight. Times they said, "Let us take the gold back to the treasury. What a quest are we in! A spacious land of which the soil is pure gold. To bring gold thither as a gift is folly."
And is it very understanding of you yet? The first thing that your brain knows is things that the best worth his space. Gold. Do you remember being in love with goldsmith? Always the gold, because everybody says that's worth it. Here he sends it to Solomon. And the people who are carrying it are shocked, because they will see that everything over there is gold. Up to the moment that the gold is not worth it. Right? And he says all of this, why? To tell you this, yes.
O thou who hast brought intelligence to God as a gift, there intelligence is less than the dust of the road. When the word...
Here he played a very special game with the words. Imagine that. In the story, Belgrace is the lady, right? And Belgrace is sending gold to Solomon. Romeo will say, "I was talking about you. You are taking what? You are taking Aql as a gift to the God. Aql is intelligence, is this, is Belgrace itself." It says, over there, Aql, intelligence, is worthless. Yes?
When the worthlessness of the gift became apparent there, shamefacedness was drawing them back. Again they said, "Whether it be worthless or valuable, what matter to us? We are slaves to the command. Whether we have to bring gold or earth, the command of the one who gives the command is to be executed. If they command you to bring it back, take the gift back according to the command."
Okay, three verses to tell you that. Okay, the carrying group, they have no choice. They are upset. But they think, what shall we do? Because we're taking orders and we have to do it. And Rumi somehow will tell you that, don't think about them anymore. Yes.
When Solomon beheld that, he laughed, saying, "When did I seek Tarid from you? I do not bid you bestow gifts on me. Nay, I bid you be worthy of the gifts."
This is the key of this paragraph. This is the key to understand what we are talking about. Because a lot of people, they think by believing in God that they are offering something. Because I'm offering my prayer, my belief, blah, 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 blah. As if I'm giving up something. Therefore, they owe me something. They have to pay back. Where is the return and stuff like that? They would say, first of all, you should understand that what you are talking about, you have nothing to offer, because whatever you have is His gift to you. What do you have? Here, look at us. Did we ever say you have to have something like that? Or you have to be somebody like that? Do you remember how many times I repeat here that in Rumi's class, there was no graduated fellow sitting down, because there is no scientific degree required for this. Because we don't even ask you to understand. Here we are talking about the passion that you should feel. It's not understandable. This is what we are talking about. And what are we telling you is to clean up, to be the best of yourself. Then you could get lucky and receive more, because that's how it works. This is all we say. So we don't ask something to take from you. We ask you to be worthy of receiving the gift. This is what it is. Yes.
I do not bid you bestow gifts on me. Nay, I bid you be worthy of the gifts, for I have rare gifts from the unseen.
Ah. Everybody is asking for something that knows that he wants and so on. What about the stuff that you don't even think about and you don't know you need, but you receive somehow? Because right from the beginning, did you know that you need life? Life was given to you as a gift. Were you worthy of it? You were nothing. You are not a living creature. So, everything is not obvious to ask for. These gifts that we say you receive, oh, they are countless. How could I count the things that you could receive to have a happy life? Yes.
For I have rare gifts from the unseen, which human beings does not even ask for. You worship the star that makes gold. Turn your faces towards him that makes the star. You worship the sun in heaven, having despised the spirit of high price. The sun, by command of God, is our cook. 'Twere folly that we should say it is God. If he caused thy sun to be eclipsed, what wilt thou do? How wilt thou expel that blackness from it? Wilt not thou bring thy headache to the court of God, saying, take the blackness away, give back the radiance? If they would kill thee at midnight, where is the sun, that thou shouldest wail and beg protection of it? Calamities, for the most part, happen in the night, and at that time the object of thy worship is absent.
Okay. This is the part that you have difficulties, because Rumi is talking about is 800 years ago, so there is no lighting and this kind of stuff. And it's not clear that what's going on and what is eclipse and what is day and night. Day and night, as our storytelling, are symbolic over there. Here he counts on that. Listen, you notice a lot of stuff, but you don't notice the creator of those stuff. There are a lot of happenings, even in yourself. Some feelings will come and go, and you don't know why it happened and where it is coming from.
Yes.